Welcome on board a daily adventure to discover true wisdom, authentic hope, a stronger faith, and profound joy. Yeah. Yeah. Hey. This is the Debbie Chavez Show.
In the shining star, no matter who you are, shining bright to see.
Welcome, friends and neighbors. It is marvelous to be back together again with you as we journey through this life together toward hope, wisdom, and joy. And the baking fest at the Chavez household is in full bloom right now. Made two cakes yesterday. Gonna make a whole humongous batch of Christmas cookies today. Frosted Christmas cookies, of course. And no, these are not the low-fat variety. You know, every once in a while you just have to splurge. And then I'll be making two more cakes the following day. And let's see, I think another cake. There was bad family planning here. We have all these Christmas birthdays. In fact, we have one of our children was born before Christmas, the day before Christmas. My nephew, who's going to be visiting us, was born on Christmas Day. Another one of our children was born the day after Christmas. So, see, one of our grandchildren was born a couple of days after that. So, whew, it's like a hullabaloo, I'm telling you. But it's all good. It's all fun. So I'm busy baking cakes and cookies. How about you? Are you doing the Christmas cookie thing this year? Oh, it's fun. It's fun. Well, coming up in a few minutes, not everyone is having a joyous time. It's not just the Christmas time depression that sometimes settles in at this time of the year, but sometimes it's just the normal life challenges with illness or, you know, relationships that have gone terribly wrong, whatever it might be. And if you're, in one of those seasons of pain and suffering and wondering what in the world is going on, well, you'll want to stay tuned because we're going to talk with a guest who's going to help us learn why God allows us to experience pain and suffering, and then also how to experience God's friendship during those really tough and challenging times in life. Plus, we're going to be answering a listener question that came into the show about handling a badly behaving spouse and what to do. So maybe that'll help you if you're in a similar situation as we attempt to answer that question with some biblical advice. And then later on in the hour in our faith and lifestyle section, megachurches in the U.S. are expecting record crowds this Christmas. In fact, you would be stunned by how many people some of these churches are expecting to fill their churches for Christmas Eve. Also, the teen birth rate hits a 70-year low. We'll tell you about that as well. But first, before we get to all of that, we'd like to start out by giving you hope and building your faith through today's true story, displaying the power of redemption. All right, today's true story demonstrates Jesus' power to redeem your faulty decision-making of the past. Doesn't that sound really good for a lot of us? Well, here's my specific true account. As many of you know, I'm a jail chaplain, and I go into our local jail here and visit the women and try to encourage them and just remind them that there is one who loves them and one who wants to rescue them from the pit that they're currently sitting in. And let me tell you, if you've never visited a jail, I hope you never have to. These places, contrary to, I know I'm taking a bit of a rabbit trail here, but contrary to some of the reports you hear that jails are just some kind of plush establishment, I'm telling you, our local jail, it is like a dungeon. I can hardly bear to go in there. At any rate, I was visiting this young lady who actually accepted Christ a couple of weeks ago, and I was visiting her last night. And it was so interesting for me to see the before and after. The contrast is huge. A woman who really had no inkling, really, who even Jesus was a couple of weeks ago. I introduced her to Jesus. She ended up accepting Jesus. And I'm sure she has a long way to go, as we all do, in transforming our lives, because Jesus, you know, gets to work transforming our lives slowly. He just starts, you know, polishing those rough edges and making our thinking new. Well, one of the things I got to see in her was that she came and it was funny because she didn't even notice the change herself, but I could as the observer. And she started talking about how she was going to go to drug court so that she could have a chance to get back together sooner with her children, which had been taken away by CPS because of her drug problem. And for those of you who don't know about drug court, basically this is a way to get your current sentence lessened quite a bit so you get out of jail sooner. However, you run this huge risk when you're in drug court, because now you're going to have a lot of accountability and UA testing. And I mean, you know, you can get, if you end up using, you will get caught because there's so much accountability, and you're going to probably, you know, you have a worse sentence that's going to hit you. So there's a lot of risk involved. And as she was talking to me, she said, you know, normally in the past, I've never opted for drug court because I knew that if I tripped up and if I started using drugs again, that it was going to go harder for me. And so I've never opted for drug court. And she said, but you know, I had this new approach. All of a sudden, it just seemed to make so much more sense that my kids are more important than anything else, and I am going to go into drug court, and it'll be good for me to have this accountability, and I won't be using because I know that I'll be found out. They'll discover this in these constant UA testings, and so this is the right decision. And all of a sudden, it just dawned on me that this is, of course, the right decision for me to make, even though I've never thought that way before. And as she was saying this, I thought to myself, aha. Aha! God at his redemption work again. He has replaced her faulty thinking that she used to have before, which is, of course, steered by the enemy, whispering all the lies into her ear. Oh, you don't want to do drug court. And he's replaced it with sound thinking, with wisdom. And it reminds me of the scripture in James chapter 1, where he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Well, she asked for wisdom, and she got it. And it was just amazing to see that transformation where, again, she didn't really notice, but I did, that all of a sudden she had a wiser approach and her faulty thinking of the past had been replaced and redeemed. And that's today's true story, reminding us that Jesus is able to redeem every situation, and he loves displaying the power of redemption. Well, time now for me to welcome to our program author Cheryl Ricker, a fellow Bellinghamster from a long time ago. Hi there, Cheryl.
Hey, Debbie. Great to be on your show.
Well, thank you. How long ago did you live in my hometown here of Bellingham?
About, let's see, 8 years ago, maybe?
Oh, it's a small world. And where do you reside now?
I'm in Rochester, Minnesota.
Well, that's a world away, and probably a colder climate, too.
Unfortunately.
Uh-oh. Well, you traded the rain for the snow. I don't know if it's a good trade or not, but
well, today I can tell you, Debbie, it's a bad trade because my roof is leaking all over the place today.
Are you serious?
And so I just had to make sure nobody was going to be walking on the roof over me right now so that we wouldn't hear footsteps over our heads.
Oh, my goodness sakes. Well, it sounds like you're facing a challenge, and maybe this is a good segue into a lovely little book you've written called A Friend in the Storm, and really a book of poetry and thoughts and scripture to help people who are also facing challenges in life, the storms, if you will. And I have to ask you, if you'd be transparent with us, have you been in the midst of some serious storms in your life? What kinds of challenges has God brought you through?
Well, you know, everybody has a different type of storm, and for mine, I was a real sensitive kid growing up, so I just went through a lot of insecurity, and I also went through with my parents' infidelity and different things like that, yeah, where there was trust broken in my family. And it was a very difficult childhood growing up, let's just put it that way. And then, you know, and friendships and things. I had a good friend that I met through MOPS who actually had stage 4 lung cancer. Mm. And I walked her through the journey until she passed away.
Oh my.
And so that was quite a journey, too. That was, you know, a little more than 5 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, and so these are, you know, for a little kid to experience infidelity in their family with their parents, that rocks your world. And certainly there must have been a lot of tension in your household, which kids pick up, and that can make you wounded for life unless God comes in and does some healing in your own heart. So you've been through some tough stuff. And I'm hoping that you can kind of help us understand a few things as you've walked through some of this and really contemplated and written this beautiful book about why you think God allows us to experience suffering. As you've wrestled through this, searched the scriptures, why does he allow it?
Well, first of all, we have to remember, Debbie, that he really wants to walk us through it, and he doesn't leave us alone. He wants us to learn to trust him, because our faith in him is so important to showing our love for him, that trust factor. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's only by going through the fire like that, that we really can be proven to show what we're made of and to learn to trust him that he will bring us to the other side.
Mm.
And so that's why he doesn't always take away our problems. But
yeah, which is
I'm reminding myself of that right now, believe me.
With your leaking roof.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't sound like a good development right before Christmas.
I know.
Yeah, and this reminds me of a conversation I had. I was just telling the listeners a few moments before you came on about a conversation I had with a lady at the jail yesterday, because I go in there and try to encourage some of the women who are sitting in our local jail. Mm. And one of them, you know, looked at me and said, why is God allowing all these things to happen? And I said, well, you know, okay, first of all, he didn't make you do drugs. You know, you made that decision. But then she started talking about the normal, I will call them, quote, normal pains of life that we all experience that sometimes lead us to try to medicate ourselves with drugs or alcohol or food or whatever. And she talked about a horrible childhood and an alcoholic dad and an abusive first husband. And she looked at me and said, well, why? Why does God allow these things? If God loves me, then why is he letting these things happen? And those are tough questions that we all have to grapple with. You gave a little bit of an insight there, and I'm going to add to it. And what I told her is that, and it really is building on what you said, that he wants us to trust him. And if we could handle all these things without him, and if life was pretty easy, we would never really, really reach out to him. We would never call out to him and beg him to be our close companion, because we wouldn't need him, would we?
Mm-hmm. We'd be so independent. We would just be, okay, God, whatever.
Yeah, I don't really need you, so you can just take a back seat here. I'm steering my life. If I need, you know, a couple bits of wisdom, I'll call on you, but otherwise, I don't really need you because everything's going swimmingly
mm-hmm.
well. Well, I think God wants a more intimate relationship with us than that, and to show his power, which is made perfect in weakness. And so I believe that is some of the reason he lets us go through those struggles. Okay, so here's a secondary question then.
Okay.
How do we experience God's friendship and closeness during those struggles? How have you been able to grab on to God and feel his closeness during your times of pain?
It's from my time that I've spent with him, just in his word and really letting his truth just permeate my soul, because the devil wants to lie to us on every front.
No.
He wants to pull us down, make us depressed, make us doubt, discouraged, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we have to counter that because we're in a war. And so we just have to pick up that sword and continually remind ourselves that God is in control and he sees a different perspective. We have a narrow vision, but mm-hmm. he is going to lead us through the different stages of grief. There's 5 known stages of grief he's going to walk us through, even our denial and anger he'll walk us through,
mm.
our depression and our bargaining, all the way to acceptance, mm. if we let him, if we hold on to him.
Yeah.
And I like how you were mentioning, why would a good and loving God let this happen? Because that is actually, I like to witness to people, and believe it or not, too, I used to go into the prisons and talk to people, too.
Uh-oh.
And I've heard people say that all the time when yeah. I'm witnessing to them about the Lord, that mm-hmm. is, why would God let this happen? So I wanted to make that be one of my main premise points of this book. So I wrote a poem around that. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, I would.
Okay, this reflects how we feel. Why would a God who loves so strong allow this blow of senseless wrong, enwrap me in this shock of pain that tries to snuff what's kept me sane? With failing strength, I'm struck down low. So where's this peace supposed to flow? Inside this hole where dreaming dies, beneath bare groans and screaming cries?
Mm.
So that's our part
yeah.
of it. There's a few questions like that where mm-hmm. the person is arguing with God and he is patiently receiving that and loving on them and saying, you know, give me all your passing worries, pressing thoughts and mm-hmm. testy weights, mask confusions, past mm-hmm. intrusions. Give me all your human hates. Letting go, you'll find true lightness from the one who takes your shame. I'm a pro at trading burdens. After all, that's why I came.
Mm. Wow.
So he speaks against the lies.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do to when we absorb his truth. It's all based on truth, these little songs.
Mm-hmm.
So we can just meditate on things above like that to help us through.
Mm-hmm. Were there particular scriptures that have really popped up? I know you filled your book with some scriptures. Are there some particular scriptures that have really helped you during those storms of life?
Yes. I love Proverbs 3:5-6.
Yes.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight.
Yeah, that is a good one, isn't it? Yeah, I memorized that one a long time ago. I was like, I need to carry this one with me.
Absolutely,
sure.
Because we do tend to lean on our understanding. Mm-hmm. At least I do. I just try to figure it out why, you know.
Yeah.
And then another one that helps me is 2 Corinthians 1:4. He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God.
Mm.
So right there is another answer to one of your questions, Debbie, when you were saying, you know, why? Because he does let us to minister and reach out in his name and love when we have experienced this.
Yeah.
These kinds of difficulties. We can come alongside a brother or a sister and say, mm-hmm. Here, I've walked through this, and I can be here for you.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's key that you mentioned a few minutes ago about walking through the stages of grief. And it is, I think this is important to underscore, especially for Christians who sometimes think, oh, well, we shouldn't really be upset with God, or we shouldn't be maybe even angry with God, because that would just not be appropriate. And yet, this is a normal stage of grieving, and God can handle it, can't he?
He's big enough to make the world. He can handle our problems. Not to minimize our problems, because, I mean, when you look in death in the face, it's not a little problem.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, God the Father, he looked at death in the face. Jesus the Son looked death in the face, and nobody understood suffering quite the same way as they did. And
mm-hmm.
I think that's why I chose to write it. The Lord led me to write it from Christ's point of view mostly,
mm-hmm.
because other people try to say, oh, I know how you feel. But nobody in the world really knows, except for the one who's been through the ultimate suffering.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's able to connect his pain on the cross and the redemptive value that came out of that with our pain, and showing that there will be a redemptive value in our pain, that the Lord will not waste it, not an ounce.
Yeah. Yeah, I sometimes think we forget that Jesus suffered pretty much everything we can think of that we have suffered on this earth. I mean, I don't know if he was ever, you know, physically molested or something like that. But
right.
I mean, he faced all the temptations. He faced betrayal of
Absolutely.
The deepest kind,
mm-hmm.
Rejection, people that said they loved him then just turned away. I mean, the things that really pierce our hearts, he experienced those things. And when we really remember that, doesn't that help us in our time of struggle know that he really, truly understands and completely empathizes with what we are experiencing? Boy, that's a nice salve when we can reach out and remember that he knows how we feel.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, when
we had people doubt him and think he was possessed of the devil. He was misjudged. Mm. He's perfect, but we get misjudged sometimes in our grief. So that's one of my 45 hope-filled topics is just, you know, and he also lost Lazarus. For a while, he knew that he was going to rise from the dead, but there's different things that he went through that we know that he understands.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. When we come back, I have a little frog in my throat this morning. I want to address another question that we sometimes have, or we wonder, why does God seem so silent during my time of suffering? I mean, I'm calling out to him, and I don't really hear anything, and I'm wondering, is he there? Why does he seem so silent? I'm wondering if you can address that in a moment when we come back. My special guest is author Cheryl Ricker. She's written a lovely new book filled with poems and verses that would help you through a tough time. The book is called A Friend in the Storm.
Learn Debbie's next topic, get links to intriguing news stories, and receive a daily scripture, all by signing up for Debbie's email alert at faithplace.org. Connect with Debbie on Facebook and Twitter, too.
This is Pamela Hinton, co-leader along with Debbie Chavez in an exciting and radical new ministry for women called Squadron of Sisters. It's radical because we're exposing our culture's misconceptions about the role of wives. And at SOS, we're digging into God's Word to discover the true and strategic role of wives. We believe that as wives seek to live out their purpose, their husbands' lives will be transformed. And true revival will break out in our community. If you live in the Northwest Washington area, please join us Thursday nights at 7 p.m. at New Horizon Community Church on the Guide at Horton Road in Bellingham. Both wives and single women hoping to be wives someday are invited to attend. Find out more at squadronofsisters.com.
You could be driving a Honda. You can find your new Honda at NorthwestHonda.com. Our website is tailored to make your shopping experience easy. Search our entire new inventory from the comfort of your own home. Or browse our quality pre-owned vehicles and get a fast quote on your trade-in. Find online internet specials, financing options, and Honda Motor Company incentives. Even schedule your next service visit and find coupons to save you money. It's all right here, right at your fingertips.
Driving Northwest Honda
at NorthwestHonda.com.
Join me on the next Carolyn Merriman Show, where I will help you understand how to identify and express your emotions appropriately. Stay tuned 10 minutes after the Debbie Chavez Show on faithplace.org.
Back on the program with author Cheryl Ricker, her lovely new book, A Friend in the Storm. And wanted to pick your brain about what you've discovered, maybe as you've searched the scriptures, in terms of why sometimes God seems very silent as we're going through our suffering. Have you ever experienced that feeling of silence?
I have, and I really think that's the biggest test of anyone's faith, is going through those dark nights of hearing nothing, where you just cry out to God, and you know he's there in your head, but you just don't feel him the same in your heart, and something doesn't seem to connect. And I think, Debbie, that during those times is really where we just have to lean on the Lord and not on our own understanding. Mm. And remember that we're not alone. There's people in the Bible that had moments of that kind of confusion and not hearing. Even John the Baptist, as he was waiting, you know, for things to happen,
yeah.
and he was in prison about to have his head chopped off. He was sending for someone to send a message. Jesus, are you the one who was to come, or should we wait for somebody else? You know, what's going on here? I'm not supposed to be in prison, am I? Is this supposed to be happening?
Mm-hmm.
And so there he was, and he found out that, yes, indeed, that he was supposed to be where he was supposed to be, and that Jesus is who he said he was.
Mm.
And so it is that we don't understand through the worst situations, but we have to just lean into grace, knowing that this life is a drop in the bucket, you know, compared to eternity.
Yeah.
And we'll understand a lot of these things someday in heaven, but
mm-hmm.
for now, there's going to be questions unanswered.
Yeah, and that's so true. And maybe that's why he advises us throughout the scriptures to wait patiently for him, which, of course, none of us are very patient these days.
Mm-hmm.
But because often he, for some odd reason, I don't know if it's a sense of humor or what, but he seems to take a long time to bring about the solution or mm-hmm. the healing or whatever it is. That, maybe that insight that comes 10 years later that you look back and go, oh, now I see how God was fulfilling Romans 8:28, where he says he's going to work all things together for good. But sometimes you have to be way into the future before it all comes together and you see, aha, now I get what he was doing. You know, it was this mosaic, but it started out as all these broken pieces of ceramic, and I didn't see that he was shaping it into this beautiful pattern. But now when I have this bird's eye view of looking back, I can see it. I can see it taking shape. And unfortunately, none of us are very patient, are we?
No, and that's one of the things that he produces in us as we go through these dark times, is patience. And then if we could, you know, write a prayer journal as we go through, that's a very helpful tool to look back on.
Yes.
And how we can see, looking back, that he was with us, helping us through.
Mm. You also say that fear, fierce pain saps our energy. Now, what do you mean by fear, fierce pain?
Well, I just mean the kind of fear that just affects our whole bodies. I've had rashes on my bodies from fears and phobias and things that I've gone through in my life. It saps our energy, makes us tired. It preoccupies our thoughts.
Mm.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And we're not supposed to have it. We're told to fear not many times in the Bible. It's easier said than done sometimes.
Yes.
Because we all struggle with fear on mm-hmm. some level. And we just need to know that it's a temptation. As soon as there's a commandment not to do something, we have to recognize that when we're tempted to do it, that God will provide a way out of that.
Mm.
And so if faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God, then we're going to have to do what Jesus did when he was tempted and have some specific verses for our situation that we can hurl back at the enemy to counterattack.
Yeah.
And so one of my favorite verses in this case is, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Mm.
And another one is, no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Yes. Yes, from Isaiah, and then the first one from, I think, Philippians, right?
I think so. Yeah,
they're
in my mind,
yep,
you know,
yep,
but no. I don't always know where they're exactly in the Bible. I look at Bible Gateway for that.
I know, me too. Isn't that the truth? Oh, my goodness. But yeah, I quote that one, no weapon formed against me will, well, it depends on what version you're reading. The NIV says, no weapon forged against me will prevail. And I quote that all the time. And you're right, hurling it in the enemy's face, saying, you know, you think you're going to get the victory here. No. I'm quoting the scripture, and I'm claiming it. And you know,
amen.
Jesus is sufficient to defeat all of your ridiculous schemes. So, but this fear thing isn't insidious, isn't it? I mean, and fear really means that we're not trusting God. I mean, bottom line, that's what fear means. If we trusted God, we would have no fear.
Oh, I can't wait for the day when it's completely, forever, permanently wiped out of our thinking.
Oh, won't that be lovely?
Because, yeah, oh, it will. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but
no.
of love, power, and of a sound mind. It just, that verse alone shows you that there's a spiritual element behind every fear. And I think we just need to remember that. I had to catch myself in the middle of the night last night about something, and then this roof thing again today. We just got a brand new roof.
Oh, my.
And so this isn't supposed to happen. We've just must have got the wrong company or something. I don't know. And so it's that's one of those things. And then we have to just, when we go through fear about something, it helps to maybe talk to a trusted friend, a pastor, or a counselor, because God has given us the body of Christ. And we can pray with one another in those times, too. And they can sometimes give us perspective. And I've done that about different things, and it's just very helpful.
Yeah, indeed. And again, memorizing some scripture that is the truth about God's trustworthiness and his love for you and his care for you, that's going to help replace these feelings of fear as you basically, again, because it's the enemy that's trying to put these thoughts in your mind. Oh, you know, this is all going to happen. You're going to, your husband's going to leave you. You're going to lose your home, blah, 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 whatever thoughts he's putting in your mind. He wants to put fear in your mind, but the way to combat that is with truth, which is found in scripture. So again, picking those right verses that really explain God's trustworthiness are going to be perfect to help you replace those fearful thoughts with truth. Another issue I want to talk about is how we learn to embrace joy when we're suffering. Every once in a while you bump into a really strong Christian who seems to, even though they have a horrible chaos happening in their life, maybe they just got diagnosed with cancer or whatever, they still have joy. And you think, man, how do they do that?
Oh, I know.
How do
they just make you sick? No, I'm just kidding.
I know, because you're like, I want some of that. So any keys that you've discovered about how to embrace joy during suffering?
Well, it begins in the mind. I like Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is true, whoops, did I just mess it up? Right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Yes.
And we need to look for the positive things in our lives. Okay, my roof is leaking, but we're all healthy right now, apart from colds.
Yep.
Nobody's, you know, we've been through some health issues in the past. We've had my husband with Crohn's disease and different things. But right now, he's in remission from that. And we believe God's healed him from that. So it's another few thousand dollars we have to fork out for this problem. It's only money. Well, we have to tell ourselves that it feels like more than that. But So the devil will use the darkness to try to blind us. But if we can shed God's light on that, it will dispel the darkness. And it will make us then feel the joy, because that's our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength today.
Yes. Oh, that's a great verse to memorize, and you can memorize that one pretty easily because it's so short. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And again, I love that Philippians 4:8 verse because it reminds us we can either look at life as being, you know, the glass half empty or the glass half full. God has provided many blessings in our lives, but sometimes we choose to only focus on what's wrong, and then we become depressed. No wonder. So part of the key to living a life of joy and peace is by focusing on being thankful for what God has given us. So, you know, okay, I don't have a new, you know, plasma TV for Christmas. All right, but you know what? I have a TV. Woohoo! A lot of people in the world don't even have one. Okay, I know that's kind of a silly example, but let's focus on what we have, what to be thankful for. We all have blessings in our life for sure. Well, it's been delightful spending some time with you, Cheryl. This has been really helpful. I know so many people, especially at this time of the year, struggling with depression and going through some hard things. So I think they've been greatly helped by what you've shared today. Thank you.
Well, I hope so, and it was great to be here, Debbie.
And Merry Christmas to you and your family, and I pray that your roof is covered by warranty.
Well, they told us today it's not, so it's a ventilation problem, but oh well. I'm going to rejoice anyway and rejoice in the Lord, because He is always something we can rejoice in. We've been saved.
That's right. Well, blessings to you. Merry Christmas.
Thanks.
And we'd like to make several copies of this book available to my friends on Facebook here in the United States. It is just a lovely little gift kind of book, packed with poems and scriptures that'll help you if you're going through a tough time, or maybe you have a friend going through a tough time. If you'd like a free copy, go ahead and email Pam@DebbieChavez.com, Pam@DebbieChavez.com, and ask for the book A Friend in the Storm. That is the name of Cheryl's book.